Good morning, brothers and sisters.
Good morning.
I actually have lost my voice a little further, so I ask that you bear with me. Hopefully you can still hear me, hear my croaking. So if you have trouble hearing me, raise your hand. Can we again turn to Psalm 90, verse that we have been reading? Psalm 90. Now, we had actually mentioned earlier that this prayer of Moses actually is quite profound because it's prophetic in nature. And we know how, because of what Moses said in Psalm 90, that actually inspired Paul to encourage us in the New Testament that we are to make the most of our time. But I think even more interesting, if we read in this psalm, and we'll read the verse that we read, but if we continue reading, you'll see that it's actually very much tied with what we've been sharing this whole weekend. Psalm 90, and we'll start with verse 10. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due strength, 80 years. Yet their pride is but labor and sorrow, for soon it is gone, and we fly away. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury, according to the fear that is due you? So teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. And then verse 13, do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And be sorry for your servants. O satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years we have seen evil. Let your work appear to your servants, and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of your hands. Isn't it really interesting that if you continue to read on verse 13, it talks about the return of the Lord. Do return, O Lord, how long will it be? And then it goes on to talk about the work of the Lord. Verse 16, let your work appear to your servants, and your majesty to the children. And then verse 17, let the favor of the Lord God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Doesn't this remind you of the confirmation at the end of times, that somehow the Lord's work is done, and then we become mature, and then we can reign with Him? This psalm is just so precious. So we started out, just like Moses started out this prayer in Psalm 90, and he said, life is but a breath, right? 1,000 years are but a day. We come and we go. We sprout in the morning, and then in the evening, we're gone. And in a way, as if it's very negative, as if life is so short, we're here a minute, and the next we're gone. But then Moses has this prayer in the middle. It says, but teach us to number our days, that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. In other words, despite the fact that we have a very short time, teach us to make good use of that time. Because, why? Because God has a purpose. And Moses seemed to kind of awake to that fact. And then he says, he realizes, oh, do return, Lord. And satisfy us in the morning. In other words, when the Lord returns, He will satisfy us. And He will reward us based on what we've done, that we may sing for joy and be glad all of our days, throughout eternity. And then it says, make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us. We may have lived difficult times here on earth. The Lord may have afflicted us. And the years we have seen evil. Again, days of evil. But let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. But the Lord is doing a marvelous work. And then let the favor of the Lord be upon us and confirm for us the work of our hands. So if we truly are wise, if we walk wisely, then there's going to be some result based off of the work that we do in following the Lord. So this psalm is very precious. It talks about that under the sun all is vanity and how transient life is. But the wonderful thing that is
That's under the sun. That's in the world. But we who are in the Lord, we have a wonderful purpose that the Lord is accomplishing in each one of our lives. So this is very precious. And now you start to see how this ties to the other portion of the scriptures, which we have been reading, which is Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and we'll start from verse 14 again. For this reason, it says, "Awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So we looked at the fact that the days are evil. We looked at the fact that the days of mankind are numbered. But we also started to consider the will of God yesterday. What is it that the Lord is doing? Which is to conform us to the image of His Son, that we may become sons, that we may become kings, but also that we may be that bride that makes herself ready. So then once we understand this, then Paul continues. Then how do we make good use of our time? How do we number our days? How do we do this practically? It says, verse 18, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord." So here, Paul gives us a very important clue. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, in another portion that we've read also, Paul says the same thing in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. "Now as to the times and the epochs," verse 1, "brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. While they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them, suddenly like labor pains, upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you all are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of night nor of darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation." And then there's one more portion of the scriptures that I wanted to read, and that's from the Lord Himself. Now, in Matthew chapter 24, and this was soon after the Lord said, "Learn from the parable of the fig tree." And He says, verse 35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will be the coming of the Son of Man be. Then there will be two men in the field, one will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left." This refers to the rapture. "Therefore be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known at what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and would not have allowed his house to be broken into. For this reason, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you do not think he will. Who then is this faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is that slave whom his master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will put him in charge of all his possessions. But if that evil slave in his heart says, 'My master is not coming for a long time,' and begins to beat his fellow slaves and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour which he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. So, here we see the contrast where Paul was telling us, do not get drunk with wine. The time that people most easily get drunk is at night. And we already said, it's evil days, we are in the dark night, as if you cannot see the light. And it is during these times, the question is, are we going to be ready? Like the Lord said. The Lord said, blessed is that servant whom the master finds that is faithful and is not just beating his fellow slaves, eating and drinking and getting drunk. If we turn to Ephesians chapter 5. So Paul here really is telling us that what does it mean? What does it mean to be awake? What does it mean to be watchful? And what does it mean to be sober? Paul tells us that in order for us to be sober and to be watchful, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Right? And that we are not to get drunk. And so, in other words, what does it mean to be wise? What does it mean to be able to be wise, to number our days and make most use of our time? If we're being filled with the Holy Spirit, we will live a life that is wise. So the question is this. Paul gives us a picture of getting drunk, right? Drinking. So drinking and getting drunk, when you drink a lot, you get drunk, you kind of lose your senses, you're not really sure what you're doing. Before you know it, you kind of wake up. Then Paul tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So the question is this. Does the Bible show us somewhere where we can actually drink of the Holy Spirit, right? You see the picture about, on the one hand, you have wine. On the one hand, you have the Holy Spirit. Paul says, don't get drunk with wine, but let's be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the answer is yes. If you turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. And then another portion in the Scripture, so here it talks about drinking of the Spirit, in Psalm 42, and I'm sure you're all very clear about this, you all know this very well, Psalm 42, there's a song, as the deer pants for the water, right? Psalm 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So the picture that we see here is that we can drink of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So then, the picture is getting a little bit clearer. But I think what will really help us is in John chapter 4. And sorry, we're turning to a little bit more scriptures today again. But I think this is important. John chapter 4. Do you all remember what the story is about? It's the story of the Samaritan woman. John chapter 4, verse 5. So he came to a city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being weary from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews had no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered and said to her, if you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. She said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself, and his sons and his cattle? Jesus answered and said to her, everyone who drinks of this water will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water, springing up to eternal life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so I will not be thirsty, nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered, said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." And then, verse 21, Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You worship that what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father sees to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." And then, verse 29, "Come see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" So here we have a story of how the Lord went out of his way to meet the Samaritan woman. Now, if you ever been to Israel during the summertime, it's very, very hot. And water is very precious. So here was this woman that came to this well to draw water. And Jesus met her. And this woman came to draw water. And of course, she needed to come back repeatedly to draw water because for sustenance. And she had a dialogue with the Lord. And the Lord said, "If you drink of this water, you will thirst again." And it's interesting because later on, the Lord asks the woman, "Go call your husband." She said, "Oh, well, I don't have a husband." And he said, "You correctly say you don't have a husband, because you have had five husbands, and the one whom you have now is not your husband. This you have said truly." So somehow in this dialogue, the Lord was pointing out the problem with this Samaritan woman. What the Lord was pointing out to the Samaritan woman was this, was that in each one of us, we have a well, just like this well of Jacob, right? And in our quest to soothe our thirst, we try to find things to fill that well inside of us. Now, the Samaritan woman tried very hard to satisfy herself with husbands, right? So she tried out the first husband. He didn't satisfy her. Second husband didn't satisfy. Third, fourth, fifth. And what the Lord was telling the Samaritan woman was this: if you drink of this water, you will thirst again. Because the well that you have inside of you is so big and was created by God that only God himself could satisfy you. Okay? So, the question is this. Paul tells us, do not get drunk with wine. We try so many different things to try to satisfy our hearts. Right? What is your husband? Right? It can be various different things that we try to satisfy our hearts with. It can be material things. It can be boys. It can be, I don't know. What is your husband? Is it Call of Duty? Or is it, I don't know, Farmville? You know, I mean, can you not get enough of Farmville? Are you on Farmville all the time? Is it looking at Facebook, right? Is it, I don't know, sports, right? Can you get enough of sports? Isn't it interesting with sports that they design it in such a way that if you don't make it this season, it's okay because there's still next season? And you thought, wow, look, I spent all this time on fantasy baseball or fantasy football, and I lost. I'm like, oh, no. Oh, it's okay. We have next season. You look forward to next season. You get it. You know, you get drafted by the, you get sucked in by the draft, and it's amazing, right? It just continues on and on and on. Doesn't it remind you of this story that, you know, oh, I won fantasy baseball last year. Oh, no, I really have to repeat, or three-peat, right? Isn't that true? It just goes on, right? And isn't it interesting for women, I guess, fashion, right? It's new lines every, I guess, quarter or every season. Oh, you got to get the latest and greatest or whatever it is, I don't know, shoes, clothes, whatever we talk about. Isn't this the world? I mean, isn't this, you know, our lives? And aren't we in perpetual pursuit of something that can satisfy us? I don't know, cigarettes, alcohol, drugs. I mean, that's all of this stuff. And I'm not specifically saying, you know, for everyone it may be something different. But what did the Lord say to the Samaritan woman? If you drink of this water, you will thirst again. Five husbands are not going to satisfy you. So the Lord was pointing something profound here, was that He has created something in us, which is the Spirit, that unless the Lord fills it, we will not be satisfied. So why is it that the Lord says, what profiteth a man if he gains the whole world yet loses his soul? If he gained the whole world, as big as this world can be, as big as earth can be, or let's even count the solar system, right? If you try to gain the whole world, you will still feel pretty empty, right? So that's why if you read the stories of these Hollywood stars, they have really messed up lives. I mean, seriously. They have money, they have... I saw on TV the other day, I think, was it the Spellings? They have like a $150 million home, but their lives are so messed up. I mean, just, you know, think about it. Just think about it. And I guess a few years back, one of the DuPont sons killed somebody. You know, like, why would you want to kill somebody? You're a billionaire. But I don't know. I guess he wasn't happy somehow. So you see, the Lord is very accurate on His assessment of man, right? Why? Because in each one of us, the Lord created this place that unless we use Him to fill, we will not be filled. So what does Paul say? How do we live a life that's wise? We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So what did the Lord say? If you drink the water that I shall give you, if you drink of the Spirit, from your innermost being will flow forth rivers of living water. It will abound. You will feel full. You will feel satisfied. Right? So this is a secret. I mean, oftentimes we use this portion to preach the gospel, right? Oh, you drink of the water of this world, you're going to continue to thirst. But this is also a message for us believers. How often we try to find other things that take the Lord's place to try to satisfy us. School, kids, you know, friends. And in the end, the Lord said, you will thirst again. So what is the lesson to us? The lesson is, the Lord says, drink of the water that I shall give you. So thank the Lord. After we are saved, the Spirit already dwells in our hearts. The question is this, is oftentimes we use a lot of other things to cover Him up, right? So the secret is, are we willing to dig deep into our hearts, to have communion with Him, to draw from that water? Remember, when the Lord changed water into wine in John chapter 2 in the wedding of Cana of Galilee, right? The Lord said, draw some out and give it to the head waiter. If you never draw that water out, you'll never realize the wonderful taste, the wonderful benefit of this one who lives in our hearts. So, there you go. So we all have this well. So what does Paul say? Drink of the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. In other words, allow this water to be tapped. Allow this spring of water to come forth from this well. Don't fill it up with all this other stuff. And the equivalent that Paul talks about is like getting drunk, right? You fill this, your heart with all this other stuff. Mud, you know, whatever you think about it. But it's not water. It's not living water. You'll feel dry. You'll feel empty, and the Lord said, it's not going to satisfy you. And before you know it, you know, you get drunk. You know, a lot of those alcoholics, they just live in their drunken stupor, right? For days and months and years. Before you know it, their life is wasted away. They wake up maybe one day in some rehab center. It's like, okay, 2 or 3 years have passed. So that's the picture that Paul shows us. Let's not get drunk with all these other things. Whatever it is for you. And it's different for everybody. Right? So you know what your equivalent husband is, right? So the thing that kind of takes the Lord's place, the thing that eats up your time, whether it's Xbox games, PS3, whatever, whichever is your console of choice, you know, the thing is this. What is it that really eats up your time? Is it, you know, surfing YouTube videos? I don't know. But something, right, that takes up that time. So what does it mean? What does Paul tell us? Drink of the Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. So only at that time will you be satisfied. Not only that, will you start now to live days that are pleasing to the Lord. So if we turn to Romans chapter 8, I think it's good for us to turn there. Romans chapter 8 and verse 5. Romans chapter 8 verse 5. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, for it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. And then verse 13. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. And then you continue. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which you cry out, Abba, Father. And then we start getting into the verses we read yesterday. Verse 22, for we know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. So we know the end, right? We talked about the end yesterday, that the Lord is conforming to the image of His Son. But earlier in the chapter, we see the secret of how do we get there. How do we get there? Is if we live by the Spirit and we put to death the things of the flesh. So the question is this, every day of our lives, what is our choice? Do we live according to the flesh? Living according to the flesh is all living according to how we feel like it, right? The lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, right? What is it that drives us? Is it that one day we can make a name for ourselves, make money for ourselves? Is it the lust of the eyes? Whatever it is that draws you, you know, physical things, clothes, whatever, cars, anything, right? What is the lust of the eyes and lust of the flesh, right? Sinful things as well. That also applies, right? Are we living by the flesh or living by the Spirit? So here you see the Lord tells us that, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So, you see, this is the secret by which we will attain to that end. So there's another portion of the scriptures that says a very similar thing, and that is in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. For these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry. I think it's clear, right? Immorality, impurity, sensuality, you know. Idolatry. Are you idolizing something? Maybe it's a TV show. American Idol, maybe. Or something else. Sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, it's interesting, right? Paul is talking to believers here. He's not talking to unbelievers. But he's taught, and he says here, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because what did we talk about yesterday? That the work that the Lord is doing has something to do with the kingdom, right? Has something to do with kingship. Now, not everyone may be qualified to be a king. Only those that are mature, only those that are grown up. The Lord is not going to allow a little baby to be a king, right? So watch this carefully. Doesn't mean we'll lose our salvation, but there's something to do with the kingdom here. So just a hint. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So you see the contrast here, right? Do we continue to live according to the flesh, or do we continue to live according to the Spirit? Now yesterday we talked about testimony, right? What is our testimony? When people see us, do they see us getting angry all the time? You know, it says outbursts of anger. Do they see immorality in us? Do they see idolatry or disputes? What is it that your friends see of you? What do your friends say of you? What does your family say of you? Now, someone once said, you know that you're spiritual when someone in your family says you're spiritual. Does your brother say you're spiritual, or your sister, or your parents? Right? That's the question. Now, do we exhibit love? Do we exhibit joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? Now, do you see the secret of our Christian living? Now, can you see how is it that we can actually have a testimony? Now, if you think about this, in our family, right? If everybody exhibits love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, isn't that going to be a lovely family that loves one another, never argues, and always in peace? And when people come into the midst, of course they're going to touch heaven, right? So that's a testimony. It's very real. But what's the secret? You have to live by the Spirit. You have to draw from that water. You have to live by that life that's already in it, within us. But if we live by the flesh, outbursts of anger, fights, right? We talked about neighbors hearing us talk. You know, we hear, you know, heard about throwing flying saucers and all those kind of things, arguments, right? Is that what you find in your family? Is that what we find in the church, right? So here it is. Paul tells us the secret. Live by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit. I'm misreading a verse. You don't have to turn there, but it's in Romans 8:14. It says, for those who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. What is the secret to be a son of God? In other words, to be a mature person, to be ready to reign. Those who are led by the Spirit. The question is this, how do you live your daily life? Is it based off of doing what you want to do? You get up in the morning, oh, I feel like doing something, right? Or is it, Lord, what should I do this day? You know, very practical. Now, as I mentioned yesterday, the Lord doesn't call us to go to like a monastery or, you know, go to some remote mountain and live our life there like a monk, right? That's not where the Lord has called us to. Interesting enough, Paul says, do not get drunk with wine, right? For that is dissipation. We should look there, actually. Ephesians chapter 5. After he says this, after he says all of this, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Do not get drunk with your wine. And then verse 20. Always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, etc., etc. It says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. Immediately after Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, he says, be subject to one another in the fear of Christ. In other words, he talks about church life. And then what happens? What does he talk about right after that? Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. And it talks about the husband being the head of the household. But then, husbands, love your wives. Talks about children. How are you to be good children? How are you to be good parents? How are you to be good workers at work? Slaves, be obedient to your masters and unto the Lord. Not as way of eye service. Now, how many of us oftentimes do things because out of eye service? Because the boss thinks it's good, that's why I do it. Or, you know, oh, it's 4:45. Maybe I'll just sit a little bit longer because, you know, my boss is looking, or something. Anyway, not as man pleases, but slaves of Christ. So we ought to work unto the Lord. So, you see, Paul talks about this, be filled with the Holy Spirit. He didn't say, then go preach to 30,000 people. No. He said, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now learn to be a good husband. Now learn to be a good wife. To be a good child. So that's the calling that the Lord has for us. It's not something out there. So what does it mean to be an overcomer? It's to be an overcomer in our homes, in our schools, in our work. Whatever environment the Lord has placed us in. Those are the places that the Lord wants us to overcome. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And very practical. And if we are being led by the Spirit, even in those situations, right? You get into some discussion with your wife and she says something, you're not really happy about it. So do you take it up and say something back? You know, if you say something back, she'll feel miserable for another week. The problem is, then is the Holy Spirit then going to allow you to say that? Maybe the Holy Spirit said, no, you know what, just don't say it, right? And then the Lord maybe saves that situation. It was interesting that my wife one time got a call from a sister. And it was a sister she hadn't talked for a long time. But it was interesting because the sister, when she started talking to my wife, was surprised that it was my wife. She goes, Angel. It's like, oh, I was not intending to call you. I was actually going to call my aunt. Her name is Angela. But it just so happens it was next in line on my cell phone and I called you. And then she says, oh yeah, I was just calling my aunt Angela because I just had a huge fight with my husband and she lives in somewhere in the south. I don't want to tell you in case you know who she is. So somewhere in the south, and her aunt lived in Baltimore or Maryland, somewhere there. And she said, yeah, I was just calling my aunt. I got into a huge fight with my husband this morning. And then I bought a ticket, and I'm just going to leave and live with my aunt for a few days. But somehow I called you. And then Angel, you know, my wife, you know, obviously in her heart, she was obviously praying and said, you know, Lord, how can I help this sister who just got in this big fight with her husband and was going to leave? And, you know, she started talking to her and just said, you know, this is married life and, you know, and basically encouraged her and kind of calmed her down and then prayed with her. And then at the end of the call, she said, you know what, I'm not going to leave. Right? And then so she was, you know, she canceled her flights and tickets. So, you know, of course, the Holy Spirit did a marvelous work. She dialed the wrong number, dialed my wife, and then she didn't leave. But imagine if she had left. It would have just created a bigger mess, right? She would have left, I don't know, for a week. And then it could just snowball, right? So, but again, you know, the enemy was working there. And she was about to allow the flesh to get its way. But then the Lord somehow turned it around and was able to build her up. And then, of course, my wife a few days later then was checking Facebook. And she was saying how, you know, her and her husband were lovey-dovey, whatever, you know. So you see, the Lord recovered that. But what I'm saying is, it's very real, it's very practical, right? Things like that, right? Are we being led by the Spirit? Or are we just going off on our whim and allowing the flesh to rule our lives? Because here it says, the flesh brings in death, right? And it would have certainly brought death into that family. But thank the Lord brought life. She was willing to then take up her cross and follow the Lord, saying, okay, I'll just take it from the Lord and then be reconciled to her husband. And the Lord was able to restore that. So that's how the Holy Spirit works. That's how the Lord works very practically in all of our lives. Are we going to allow Him to do that? So that's why the Lord said, John chapter 14, verse 26. John chapter 14, we'll start from verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you. He will teach you all things. So anything you want to learn, he can teach us. And then in one more verse, and we'll read in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27. As for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you abide in him. So again, we come back to the Holy Spirit. He lives in us. There's a still small voice. The question is, are you going to quench that still small voice? Or are you going to allow that Holy Spirit to be drawn out? Right? So here it says, the anointing within teaches us about all things. You don't need anyone to tell you whether you should go to a certain website, whether you should watch a certain movie, or whether you should say certain things. The anointing within is going to tell you. He's going to say, stop. Sometimes he says, go. Right? He'll teach you in all things. The question is, when he says stop, do you actually stop? Right? So that's the question. But we have this anointing within that will teach us all things. When my brother and sister, they were young, the story goes something like this. It was my grandfather's birthday. And my mom had prepared this pen for my sister. I think she was probably 5 at the time, and my brother was 9. And prepared this pen so she could give it to Grandpa for his birthday. And my brother, who was 9, found out about it, took the pen, and then was going to give it to him himself. And obviously, my brother didn't really take it, but he asked her, right? But he's 9 and she's 5. I mean, so he asked her, and then she gave it to him. And then later on, my mom asked my sister, said, why did you give him the pen? She said, because my stomach was talking to me, and my stomach told me that I have to give him the pen. Okay, so she didn't know how to describe the Holy Spirit. But somehow the Holy Spirit said, just give him the pen. So, again, it's very practical, very real. The Holy Spirit will move within us. Now, last year, I don't know if you remember, but we shared on a proverb in Proverbs chapter 8. I'm sorry, just one more place we have to look. Well, not one more place. One of the many places. Proverbs chapter 8. I think this is important. I think as we're young in the Lord, it's good for us to know that the Bible has all these things in the Word. Proverbs chapter 8. We talked about wisdom last year, but here we're talking about how do we live wisely, right? So verse 11, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. Verse 14, counsel is mine. This is speaking about wisdom. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding. Power is mine. By me kings reign, and rulers decree justice. By me princes rule, and nobles all who just rightly. Verse 18, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. And here we see, in Proverbs chapter 8, it's actually talking about wisdom personified. It talks about the fact that wisdom is the Lord himself. Right, so this is the Lord speaking. He says, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choicest silver. And then verse 23 to 26. 23, from everlasting I was established, from the beginning, from the earliest times of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While he had not yet made the earth and the fields, nor the first of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he inscribed a circle on the face of the deep. When he made the skies. When he set the sea and its boundary, verse 29. Verse 30, then I was beside him as a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. And then verse 32. Now therefore, O sons, listen to me, for blessed are they who keep my ways. Heed instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me injures himself. All those who hate me love death. Now, here it's very clear that the Lord is wisdom personified. Now, the Lord was there at the beginning, right, when the earth was founded. But the Lord here said, blessed is a man who listens to me and watches daily at my doorposts, because I am wisdom itself. He says, by me princes rule, right? He says, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield better than choice of silver. So here the Lord tells us how blessed is the person that realizes the wisdom that I'm able to provide. So, in the New Testament, the Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. He will take all that is that of Christ and teach it to us. So, the thing is here, we have this well in us. We have this Holy Spirit abiding in us. We have this free access to all this wisdom that the Lord talks about, right? He's going to teach us in all things. The question is, why not go to him, right? So, obviously the Holy Spirit will say stop, right? You shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. But the Holy Spirit sometimes also says go, okay? The question is this, are we abiding in him? Are we drawing from him? So, do you feel like you need wisdom, right? I think we do need wisdom, right? Every day we make very important decisions. I think I mentioned this last year. That during September 11th, about 600 people had 15 minutes to decide whether they lived or died, based on whether they stayed in the building or not, right? So the question is this, are we listening to the Holy Spirit? As we make decisions every day, when we're driving out on the street, or we're walking or crossing the street, anything that we're doing, you know, do we rely on His wisdom? Big decisions we need to make. Some of them the biggest decisions of our lives, right? Who should we marry? That's very important, right? If we marry the wrong person, we'll suffer for the rest of our lives. But I don't want to scare you. The thing is, you don't have to get to that point, right? If you abide, if you fill with the Holy Spirit, you'll find the right person and not pick the wrong person. So it's very real, right? Every day He teaches us in all things. But we have at our disposal the wisest one to ever live, right? Solomon, obviously, in all of mankind, he was the wisest man to ever have lived. The queen of the south came far away from Ethiopia to listen to Solomon speak. And he was certainly wise, right? He knew how to save a baby. Remember how, you know, two moms are fighting over a baby, and he was able to save them. And he said all these proverbs, and the queen of the south came to listen to him. But the Lord said, behold, someone greater than Solomon is here. We have someone at our disposal that's even wiser than Solomon. And he's at our full disposal, so long as we draw and drink of the Spirit. We listen to him, right? We abide in him. We wait at his doorpost for his wisdom on how to live, what school to go to. You know, like I already mentioned, finding the other half. So, it's very practical. And in these things, in the decisions that we make, as we abide in Him, we follow His leading, we'll discover that it's not something very theoretical. It's very practical, right? Because in verse 18 it says, riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. Okay. Well, on the one hand, it's spiritual things, but material things as well. The Lord said, no one who has given up mothers and sisters and all of these things for me, that I will not repay him. And this is in the Bible, with farms and whatever it is. So the Lord is not out to get us, right? So that if we take up our cross and follow Him will live a miserable life. But here the Lord said, the Lord will provide. So He said, riches and honor are with Him. So, making smart decisions. Maybe sometimes smart financial decisions. Lord, what should I do with my money? Should I offer it? Should I give it to this? Should I invest it? Should I do this, do that? Right? Wisdom is with the Lord. All things. It's very practical. Very real. So many times we have heard that the Lord has provided in some miraculous way because we submitted and listened to the Holy Spirit. We're just talking to our brother this morning, and he was mentioning that he had 1 week to make a decision. Sorry, brother, for mentioning this, but he had 1 week to decide whether he wanted to take a job or not. And after he prayed, the Lord just said he shouldn't take that job. Well, I think it was two months later, the company folded, or 2 weeks later, the company folded. And then by staying with the company he stayed with, he was able to get his visa situation taken care of 3 months later. So, very practical, very real, right? So, abide in me, right? Listen to the Holy Spirit. So, the Lord also says, abide in me and I in you, John chapter 15. It's the same thing. Abide in me, all it means is to draw from the Spirit, be filled with the Holy Spirit, listen to Him, be led by the Holy Spirit. So, there's just one other place I'd like you to turn to, and this Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Now, when we read Ephesians chapter 5, it says, you know, be filled with the Spirit. But Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, Colossians 3, 16, it says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts. If you read in Ephesians chapter 5, it was the same exact passage. He says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and then with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Here, however, Paul says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom and teaching and admonishing one another with psalms. So you see the parallel. So Paul was telling us, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, what needs to happen? You need to let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Why is that? Because we mentioned this last year, right? How is it that the Holy Spirit speaks to us? Is by taking what God has already spoken in the Bible and then speaks it once again to us. Do you remember? There is the Logos, right? And the Rhema. Logos is the inspired Word of God from Genesis chapter 1 to Revelation chapter 22. All that it contains is the word Logos, is the Logos of God, right? It's unchanging, it's objective. But then the Holy Spirit takes that word and then speaks it subjectively to us. I don't know if you remember the story of the sister who always used to sleep with the Bible under her pillow, and then she had a prayer because she was always afraid to sleep at night. And then because she was afraid of the dark, so she put the Bible under her pillow. And once she started putting the Bible under her pillow, she could turn off the lights and sleep at night. But it wasn't until one day she was reading the Bible, and there was this phrase, do not fear, that she came upon. And the Lord spoke to her. And then she went and looked up in the concordance, how many times does it say do not fear in the Bible? And 365 times. So then she realized, wow, the Lord says do not fear. It has a do not fear for me every day of our life. So do not fear was something objective, but now became something very personal. I told you, and I have shared this last year as well, that as I was dating my wife, and as both of us were praying before the Lord, we were wondering whether this was the Lord's will or not. And one day, the Lord gave us Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. It says, you will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. And the Lord spoke to me through that verse, and I also mentioned that it just so happened my wife was attending a conference, and the theme of the conference, the verse was also that verse, right? Isaiah 30, 21. So the Holy Spirit took a word that was already in the Bible and then spoke to each one of us personally again. That's Rhema, right? So that's why here Paul says, let the word of Christ richly dwell within you. Read the Word, read the Logos, know the Logos of God, because Then one day the Holy Spirit can use that word to speak to you again. And so you will understand His purpose. So the same thing, when you're asking for the will of God, you said, Lord, please give me a rhema, a living word, right? So that's why the Lord said, if you abide in me, and my rhema abides in you, ask whatever you want, and it shall be done for you. You know, you could say, oh, Lord, give me the moon. The Lord's not going to give you the moon, because He never said He would give you the moon. But if the Lord says, I'm going to give this to you, whether it's a job, whether it's some situation that He wants to take care of, healing, right? I don't know if you know the story of Brother Nee. He was very sick at one point. But then the Lord gave him the word and words in Ephesians, sit, walk, stand. And he was so weak, he was about to die. But somehow he said, okay, Lord, I don't think I can sit up, but if you want me to sit, I'll sit. So he sat, walked, he walked to the door, and then he stood up there and then knocked on his door from the inside, and then the brother came up to meet him. But the Lord, through that, healed him. So sit, walk, stand. Three words from the book of Ephesians. It was always there, but the Lord spoke to him personally. So that's why the other thing is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to work. The Holy Spirit always uses His Word to speak to us. Okay? And so we'll never go against what's in the Word. Okay, so be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you. Let the Logos of Christ richly dwell within you. And you'll be good. And you'll be set. So, there's just one, I promise this time, one last portion that I want us to turn to. Now, when the Lord comes back, right? So the Lord talked about His return. The Lord is looking for two things. And these two things really will qualify whether we reign with Him or not, or whether we're mature or not, or we have really pleased Him or not. And that's in Matthew chapter 25. There are two parables here. And the Lord, when He talks about His return, and He earlier talked about whether this master will find the slaves being faithful, He uses two parables to show us what is it that He's looking for when He returns. Right? It says, Matthew chapter 25, then the kingdom of heaven will be comparable to 10 virgins who took their lamp and went out to meet the bridegroom. Five of them were foolish, and five of them were prudent. Again, foolish versus being wise, right? For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, because they had been, what, drunk, right? They had been drunk with other things. But the prudent took oil in flasks along with their lamps. Now, while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight, there was a shout, behold the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps. The foolish said to the prudent, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the prudent answered, no, there will not be enough for us and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open for us. But he answered, truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. So here you have 10 virgins. Virgins always refer to believers. Five of them were wise, five of them were foolish. The wise, they had oil left over. In the Bible, the oil always speaks about the Holy Spirit. So they had much of the Holy Spirit, right? And in the end, the Lord also gives us a clue. What does it mean to have the Holy Spirit? It means that we're constantly in His presence, right? So that we know who He is. We abide in Him. We know who He is. He's not a stranger to us. But what did the Lord say? Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Because you continually lived in your flesh, you were in your drunken stupor, you were doing all this other stuff. You never came into my presence. I do not know you. That's what the Lord said. So what is it that the Lord is looking for? Those that have drank of the Holy Spirit, those who have abided in Him, those who have been led by the Holy Spirit, and they had oil left over. Now, what's the oil for? For the lamp, right? For there to be a real testimony. If you don't have oil, there is no testimony. Right? That is the fuel that brings forth that fire, right? On the lampstand, you need that fuel to have that fire come out. So this is one thing that the Lord is looking for. The other thing is, verse 14, for it is just like a man about to go to a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability, and he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. But he who received the 1 talent went away. Oh, sorry. Now, after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and bought 5 more talents. Verse 21. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one also who had received the 1 talent came up and said, master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But his master answered and said to him, you wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, this second parable is actually talking about talents. And if you translate it into the epistle terms, these are actually gifts of the Holy Spirit. Now, here it talks about something to do with the work of God. Before, the parable of the virgins and of the oil speaks about life. So there are 2 aspects as we follow the Lord that are very critical. One aspect is our life, and the second aspect is our service. Now, what is the Lord looking for when He returns? One is whether we have an abundance of His life. We have a reflection of who He is. We have His character built into us. That's one aspect. The other aspect is this matter of service. Now, in Romans chapter 12, one of the last times we'll read something, I promise. Romans chapter 12. I should just not promise anything. Romans chapter 12. I will continue to read verses. Romans chapter 12, verse 4. For just as we have many members in one body, and all members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without hypocrisy, abhor what is evil, cling to what is good, be devoted to one another, etc., etc. Rejoicing in hope, preserving tribulation. All things about how to interact in the body of Christ. So here it tells us that each one of us is a member in the body of Christ, and each one of us have our function in the body of Christ. What the Lord is also looking for is whether we have are functioning properly in the body of Christ. And in order to function, the Lord has given us gifts. And we need to be before the Lord as to what are what is the gift that He has given us? Now, we don't need to be completely, you don't need to focus too much on the fact of, oh, I'm not sure what my gift is. What is my gift? If you serve in the body, the Lord will soon enough reveal to you what are the gifts, right? And some of them may be more apparent. You know, some brothers and sisters already serve in playing the piano, leading the singing, playing the guitar. But the Lord will show you. And for some of us, it may take some time. And maybe until you're a little bit older is when you can really start, you know, exhortation or encouraging some of the younger sisters or brothers and sisters. So, and you may discover new things that the Lord gives you over time. But one thing is for sure, the Lord said, some are given one talent, some are two, some are given five. Now, the message is this. If the Lord give you five, you just have to be faithful with the five He's given you. If He's given two, you just need to be faithful with the two He's given you. Because what did He say? If you're faithful with the little things, He'll give you bigger things, right? So think about this. If you're faithful serving in whatever capacity you serve, then the Lord is able to entrust bigger things to you, right? So one time, my dad said to my mom, and some of you probably know my dad, he spends a lot of his time reading the Word, etc. So my mom does everything else at home, right? So, and then one day he was telling my mom and said, you know, the Lord said, if you're faithful in little things, you know, He might give you bigger things, right? In Luke, it actually says that for some, when they reign with Christ, some will rule over one city, some five cities, some 10 cities. I said, maybe the Lord will give you 10 cities. She said, oh, no. I don't want to reign 10 cities too much. But the point of this matter is you might just be faithful in a little thing. Maybe just being a housewife or, you know, being faithful from that perspective. But the Lord may give you something much bigger. Maybe you'll be the mayor of New York City in the new heaven and new earth. I don't know if it's going to be New York City, but I don't know if it's going to be Seattle, actually. Maybe some earthquake will happen before that. Oh, sorry. I'm just kidding. So this is what the Lord is looking for upon His return, right? So one is life and one is service. Now, this time, obviously, my focus has been on life, and that we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But just as important is service. And that's why it's important that we do not just live for ourselves, but know that the Lord is doing some work corporately, right? And that we have a place in the body of Christ. So this is what it means to be sober, that it means to be awake. That's what it means to walk wisely, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to have a constant fellowship with the Lord, to know His face, to always be aware of His presence. There's a real good book called Practicing His Presence. If you guys ever get to read this by Brother Lawrence, it's very thin. He was a cook in the kitchen, and he talked about how was it that he all the day abided in the presence of the Lord while he was doing the dishes, while he was cleaning, while he was cooking. But he was one that really knew the Lord. And you know after you read that, that's someone that lives in the presence of God. So after this weekend, right, we read about the fact that we live in evil days, right? The world is preparing for the Antichrist. Everything is almost ready, right? We see the world. We talked about the statue where we're really at the toes already. We've already passed, you know, the time of going from the legs to the toes. And we know we're waiting for the Lord's return, and His return is imminent. We know that Israel has been restored. We know Babylon has been restored, and all of these other ancient nations, Iran, Iraq, Kurdistan, other places, right? The world is ripe for the Antichrist, the European Union. So we talked about all of this. The days are evil. We know how transient life is, right? Life can just go by like that. And it can go by like that if we are, as Paul put it, if we're drunk with wine. We're caught up with all of these other things that really don't matter, right? How are we to live wisely? How are we to make the most of our time? Moses had this prayer, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. We also should have this prayer, teach us to number our days. How do we make the most of our time? We need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He has given us this life. We need to tap into that life. How do we make the most of each of our moments? Because we have a very short period of time. How do we allow Him to do a work in us? How can we be an overcomer? How can we be conformed to the image of His Son? It's by abiding in Him, allowing Him to do a work. He has called us to very real things. How to be good husbands, wives, to be good children, good parents, good students. Whatever, wherever you're at, He's called you to be faithful and to be an overcomer in that situation. If you're able to overcome and He's able to deal with you, one day you'll be sitting on a throne with Him, ruling and reigning with Him. You'll be part of that great and wonderful city of Jerusalem, right? Full of gold and precious stone and pearl and shining for Him, being a testimony for Him. You know, then you have really satisfied the purpose of this life. Otherwise, just, you know, like David and Moses said, life is but, you know, we're just like grass. But the Lord has given us something much more. And He has called us to a much greater purpose. May we really be able to follow Him, love Him. And He has made every provision. He has given us His Holy Spirit to teach us all things. So just share this this burden from my heart. And, you know, may we all be encouraged. May we just close with a word of prayer. Lord, we want to thank You for Your precious words. Thank You for loving us. Lord, You died for us on the cross. You shed Your blood, took care of our sins. But, Lord, more than that, You gave us Your life. And, Lord, after You ascended, You gave us the Holy Spirit to teach us in all things. And thank You, Lord, that He intercedes for us and continues to work all things together for good for us who love You, Lord, and call according to Your purpose. Lord, thank You for this wonderful purpose. Lord, that one day we can become like You. We can be conformed to the image of the Son of God. That one day we can reign with You, Lord, to be responsible and grown up and mature. And Lord, that one day we can be a bride made ready for Yourself. Lord, we do pray, Lord, that we may fulfill Your purpose. Lord, do not allow us to wander. Do not allow us to be drunk. Do not allow us to just let life waste away because life is so short. But Lord, in these end times, in these evil days, we may really be a testimony for You. When people touch us, touch our families, touch our church life, Lord, they may have a touch of heaven. They may be drawn to You. And Lord, so we pray that we may be a real testimony for You. We may be able to be built up, love one another. Lord, we just pray. A lot has been shared this weekend. We pray that Your Holy Spirit may continue to speak to us. We thank You for these words. And we pray, Lord, that You may be with us for the rest of the day in our different travels home, that You may bring us safely home. And You may continue to work in each one of us. In Jesus' precious name,